And a pleasant good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a what we'll call a special edition of Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas here, and Charlie Long is back in the studio. Deuce McAllister will be on the team plane heading to Los Angeles. Dennis Allen today said that pretty much whenever they do these kind of two-hour time zone changes, they will leave early. So that is, in fact, what is happening. So Deuce will not be a part of the show. And I say special edition because I'm not in studio where I normally be. I'm actually in my office here at Caesars Superdome because I was afraid that if I came down to the studio, I would have a hard time getting back to my other job as media manager here at Caesars Superdome because I don't know if you've heard, we've got a few concerts.
It's a little busy, Mike.
Happening back to back to back, that being Taylor Swift. And it has been crazy, but it has been so much fun. I do not have tickets. I put in for the lottery. I did not get tickets, but we're doing the show from my office about 20 feet away from the bowl, which we will not go near. I will say that off. We're doing a sports show here, but it is just kind of a unique show. And Charlie, I know that you had trouble getting to work today yourself.
No, it was a mess downtown, but we're all good to go. So it's a little bit unique, as you mentioned. You're at the dome. I'm still in the studio, but we'll make it work. It'll be fun.
So, as you know, Charlie's always in the booth with Deuce and I, and, you know, this is kind of where we, you know, spend a great deal of time talking about the Saints injury list, and we will, because there's a ton of names on it, but as you said earlier in your sports wrap, just the Derek Carr doubtful, he will probably be that emergency third quarterback like he was against Denver. Dennis said today that they will check on him Sunday to see, but I feel like it's going to be Spencer Rattler for the third straight week, and then Nick Saldivari out, and Cedric Wilson was out. He got hurt during the week. He was limited on Wednesday and did not practice at all on Thursday and Friday, so he is out. But really, it's about those who are coming back. Pete Werner, Lucas Patrick, Cesar Ruiz, Colin Saunders, Taysom Hill, Chris Olave, who cleared concussion protocol, and, you know, guys who were kind of dinged up, Juwan Johnson, Marshawn Lattimore. But, man, Taysom Hill, Olave, Werner, Patrick, Ruiz. If you want some cats to help take some of the pressure off of Spencer Rattler, that's it, right?
Yeah, so for the first time all year, it feels like the list of players that have an injury designation is actually shorter than the ones that don't. So it's great news. I mean, the three games in 10 days was obviously tough on this team, but having the kind of mini bye that we talked about after playing on Thursday night last week, it allowed a lot of guys to get healthy. Obviously, you mentioned Chris Olave and the concussion protocol, but also a lot of key names that you mentioned. This team is starting to get healthy at the right time, you know, heading to Los Angeles this upcoming weekend. So, you know, they obviously went 0-3 in that three-game and 10-day stretch, but it's nice to see some of these key faces get back.
Man, especially offensively, I agree. So both teams started 2-0 on the season, the Chargers and the Saints. And then the Saints, as we know, have dropped five straight. The Chargers have dropped 3 of 4. They've already had their bye week. That just seems kind of, you know, I know it's early, and I mean, somebody's got to be off. It just feels so early, although if you look back, the Saints would have probably given anything to have a week five open week this year, because you just don't know. I mean, right, you just don't know. I think it's interesting because the Chargers now, you know, had a kind of a short week. They were on the road Monday night, lost to Arizona, 5 field goals. They were, relearned the message that so many teams have learned, that you can't trade field goals for touchdowns. And so they dropped to 3-3 after starting 2-0. And it's funny, it's Justin Herbert, right? He's got 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. You feel like that would be the story. He threw for 300-plus yards again on Monday night. I think it's the 26th time he's done so. But, you know, it's really more about J.K. Dobbins, right? I mean, you feel like it's more about, can the Saints stop the run, or it doesn't, you know, Herbert's going to be able to do what he wants. If he can't stop the run, man, play action and all the things that he does well is going to be so much better. And we have to be clear that we've just spent some time on the Saints injury report right now we don't know a lot about the Chargers injury report because of the time difference, and theirs is not out that I know of, unless you've seen something new from their Friday statuses. Have you seen anything new concerning their Friday practice status?
Not yet. I think it's going to probably be coming out within the hour, if not right. in the 5 o'clock hour at the latest, I would imagine. So it should be coming soon. But I'm 100% in agreement with you, Mike. Yes, Justin Herbert's the flashy quarterback. Everyone wants to talk about him. But at the same time, going out and getting Coach Harbaugh, right, bringing him back from Michigan, back to the NFL, and what they did in the draft. And that's going to be a prevailing theme of whenever we talk about this Chargers team, what they want to build culture-wise. They want to be able to play good defense, and they want to be able to run the football. Yes, they have Justin Herbert there, and he can make all the throws. He's a stud quarterback. At the same time, you know, their weapons in the passing game don't necessarily terrify you. You know, their wide receivers specifically, like Quentin Johnson and Ladd McConkey, you know, that's it leaves a little bit to be desired so far. Their tight ends, Justin Herbert was slinging it to the tight ends against Arizona, which Will Disley specifically, and we know how the Saints have defended tight ends at times, so that's a little bit, you know, not necessarily encouraging. But as far as the rushing attack goes, they told you exactly what they wanted to do in the first round of this past year's draft. And that was when they took Joe Alt with the fifth overall pick, and they passed on Malik Nabers. And we see what Malik Nabers is doing in New York. He's been outstanding. But at the same time, you know, they had a needed wide receiver. They decided instead to get that bookend tackle, and now they're just sitting pretty with Rayshon Slater and Joe Alt as their tackles. They want to be a physical football team. They want to run it down your throat. Gus Edwards is on IR, but you mentioned J.K. Dobbins, Kamani Vidal as well. That's kind of going to be the two-headed monster that the Saints are going to have to stop.
And clearly important when this the Friday injury report for the Chargers comes out, because if you just kind of look at the guys who have not practiced this week. Now, Wednesday, my thought was probably more of a walkthrough, so that more of an estimation, so to speak. That's why I feel like the Friday report today is going to be so important, because Darius Davis, if you just go by what they have, didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday. Will Disley, who had such a huge game Monday night, did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. Ladd McConkey did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. Their linebacker, Denzel Perryman, did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. And their wide receiver, Quentin Johnson, did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. Now, come today, some of those guys are limited or full or another DMP. Man, that changes things, because that is a huge chunk of their offense. Hayden Hurst was the tight end the Falcons have had. He's been everywhere. He didn't practice Wednesday, and he was limited today, so you feel like he is going to be back. But you start talking about Ladd McConkey and Disley and Quentin Johnson and Darius Davis, and we know how they feel, but we'll wait and see, because that how and what they do today, to me, is going to be crucial as to what they do on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. And real quick, I mean, we talked with Mark Schlereth on Tuesday about this, because this was right after the Monday night game with the Cardinals and the Chargers. And one thing that kind of stood out to me was the Chargers' offensive game plan in that matchup. And Mike Dettillier has said this a bunch this week, that, you know, the Chargers haven't scored a touchdown in 16 straight drives. And Cameron Dicker is an awesome kicker for them. Like, he went 5-for-5 in that game against the Cardinals, but still, if you're not scoring touchdowns, you're not going to win. And that's why they lost 17-15. If any one of those field goal drives turns into a touchdown drive, they're sitting with a 4-3 record and or 4-2 record, feeling a lot better about themselves. But as far as the rushing attack, it doesn't jump off the page to you. So far, they've averaged 116.3 yards per game this year, and it feels like it should be better than that. But against the Cardinals, they just really didn't run the ball. And Schlereth, going back to what I was saying earlier when we were talking with Stink back on Tuesday, he basically said that it was a game plan based off of who they were playing, right? Because the Cardinals don't have much of a pass rush at all, so they figured, okay, Justin Herbert, we'll let you throw it 40 times in this game. And he threw 39 times, and he had plenty of success. He, as you mentioned, he threw for over 300 yards in the matchup because the Cardinals just can't really generate a pass rush. When you're looking at the Saints and what you've seen over the last basically 3 weeks, maybe even more than that, is that their rushing defense has faltered and been just near the bottom of the league in general. Right now, the Saints rank at 28th in the NFL, giving up 146.5 yards per game on the ground. So if they're playing kind of offense to combat opposing defenses like they did with the Cardinals and, you know, their pass rush, so that's why they pass so much in that game, with how the Saints are playing the run right now, you can bet Coach Harbaugh and that offensive staff are going to try and run it down their throats.
Sure. I mean, that's, you know, it gets old, but I have to ask, we ask Coach Allen every week, you're going to face it until you stop it. And that's just a fact, right? Until you stop it. And that was a question we had asked him in week one and week two. Then we didn't really ask it much in week two because they did such a good job. And specifically, where I think this team has struggled defensively is first and second down. They have not, you know, when you're running the ball 4, 5, 6 yards on first down, it makes second down calls so much easier, third down calls so much easier. The Chargers had 8 possessions Monday night. 8. That's nothing, right? I mean, you're right. Their offensive numbers, we keep talking about this rushing attack. You know, you got to stop this rushing attack. What did Dobbins have, 41 yards?
Yeah, but yeah, I mean,
40 yards.
It's kind of like playing to your competition.
Right.
So,
but you know, here's – so I tell people that I look at a lot of stats. I'm kind of a stats guy. But in the end, the only stat that matters is that the Chargers defense gives up 13.8 points a game. 13.8. Who cares about anything else when you give up 13.8? Your offense doesn't have to be, but so good. And I think that's what they've been. Kind of, you know, playing to whoever their opponent is, playing to their strengths against that opponent. And I think we'll see a lot of that on Sunday when they do run the ball. So the Saints have to figure out a way. I don't know if it's bringing a safety down and you get Pete Werner back. I don't know what the answer is, but and that's kind of a weird thing to say that you've got to, you'd rather, you want to force, you know, Herbert to the air, right? Yeah, but you know, if you don't stop the run and if you don't do better on first and second down, doesn't really, and the rest of the stats don't matter a whole lot.
No, it is pretty funny that you mentioned the defense, because we got to obviously talk about them as well. They're number one in scoring defense, and that is the most important stat for an opposing defense. You can talk about, you know, the rushing defense, the passing defense, which, you know, they're top 10 in both of those as well. But scoring defense, 13.8 points per game, as you mentioned, Mike. Spencer Rattler, yes, he's going to be getting some key pieces back, especially on the offensive line. Cesar Ruiz, Lucas Patrick are both good to go. Connor McGovern for some center depth as well. But also Chris Olave at wide receiver. Like Juwan Johnson, all these guys, Alvin Kamara, none of them have any injury designation. So they'll be good to go. But this is a very tough, stout, you know, Jim Harbaugh defense with the LA Chargers. So, you know, offensively, they've scored only 9 touchdowns all season, which is kind of funny to think about that they're still sitting with a 3-3 record through 6 games.
That was like the Saints' first 2 games, right?
I know.
It was like their first 9 drives.
Right. Like the Saints, by opposition, have scored 21 this year. But 9 touchdowns through 6 games, that doesn't sound great, but they're still with a 3-3 record because that defense has been so good.
No, I agree. Also, before we get too deep into the show, because we're going to have, coming up in just a little bit, we're going to have Matt Money Smith. He's the voice of the L.A. Chargers. We'll talk about that early grade year one for Jim Harbaugh. They're 3-3. Also, Kurt Heelan, the lead NBA writer, managing editor for NBC Sports, talk about the Pelicans. They're on the West Coast as well. And a special happy birthday to Roger Sedwani of Logo Express Marketing. So hope he has a great birthday weekend. That might include Taylor Swift, LSU in College Station, and maybe the Saints in LA. Who knows? Big weekend. Mike Oss, Charlie Long here. Fans and the Pro coming to you from Caesars Superdome. We're back after this on WWLAMFM.com. Always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans and the Pro. Mike Oss and Charlie Long today is in the studio. I am at Caesars Superdome, where tonight Taylor Swift will open up the first of 3 nights. If you don't know, I wear a couple of hats. I'm very fortunate to work for the radio station and do the play-by-play. I'm also the manager of media relations here. It has been a crazy, crazy fun week, and it begins tonight. So I'll be flying to Los Angeles tomorrow, meet up with Deuce and the team there as they're leaving later on today. Also want to thank Magazine Pizza at 1068 Magazine. Dine in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. Earlier today, Dennis Allen spoke to the media before heading for the buses and Los Angeles. Here's what he had to say, and really the key about getting some people back from the injured list.
Look, we'll hop on a plane this afternoon, head to LA, and start getting ready to go play a game out there. So we're excited about that opportunity.
Was leaving today just for getting used to it?
Pretty typical of a, you know, 2 time zone travel day. You know, we usually add an extra day.
Yeah, you guys have had like the second highest number of rookies on offense, percentage-wise, at least for snaps. I know you guys are getting some veterans back this week. Just what does that do for the offense that maybe you don't have to rely on that experience? Or could you tell that you guys were that young on offense?
I would say this. I would say it's been valuable experience for all these young guys that have had an opportunity to jump in and play. You know, and as we move throughout the course of the season and you go into the future, you know, that experience I think is going to pay off for those guys, you know, as we go forward. So I think, you know, unfortunate to have some guys out, but yet, you know, getting those young guys with that experience, I think, has been good for us. So we'll see, you know, what we do, you know, this week and who we have back and who's available to play. But the good news is that if those young guys are called upon to play, at least they're gaining valuable experience.
What stands out about the Chargers defense? I think they've only allowed 20 points one time this year.
Yeah, look, they play sound, fundamentally sound. They tackle well. They keep the ball in front of them. I think, you know, up front they do a pretty good job, you know, stopping the run. They do a good job getting after the passer a little bit. So I just think they're just a good, fundamentally sound defense that makes you have to earn everything. They do a good job of tackling, and they're a physical football team.
How do you think the team's kind of responded this week, having a little time to reset? And just
yeah, look, here? I think our team's responded well. I think having some of these guys back out here at practice has been energizing for the football team, and you know, we're looking forward to, you know, kind of getting reset a little bit and playing good football.
How would you describe the progress of guys like Nephi Sewell and Tanner Passanio working their way back in IR?
Yeah, I think both those guys are doing a good job. I think they're on schedule in terms of their rehab. I think, you know, Nephi's probably just a little bit ahead of Tano, but I think we're getting close to, you know, hopefully being able to start getting them back out into some practice.
So the expectation is still that there is the potential for them to come back this season?
I think both of them, you know, have a great opportunity to be available to us at some point this season.
With Taysom suffering like two injuries in the span of a couple of games, like, do you guys have to be more careful with like how you're deploying him and stuff like that?
It's kind of a hard question in that, you know, look, this is a tough game that we play, and it's a physical game that we play, and you know, every snap you take, you're putting your body in harm's way, and so yeah, I think we got to pay attention to what we're asking him to do, and yet, you know, there's a certain way that you have to be able to play this game, and so I think, you know, you kind of have to go play a little bit.
Is Chris still on protocol?
No, Chris has been cleared.
Can Harvey be listed as doubtful again this week, like similar to last week as the emergency option?
Yeah.
Do you think he could be an emergency option this week?
Potentially, yeah. I think we'll see where he's at, you know, come Sunday.
Besides, like, just getting off the field on third down, like, what's the challenge of going against a team that likes to have, like, these really long drives like they kind of do?
Yeah, well, I think it starts with first and second down efficiency, you know. You know, it's a lot harder to get off the field when you're facing a bunch of third and two threes. You know, much, I'm not going to say easy, but easier to get off the field when you're facing some third and longs. And so I think it starts with first and second down efficiency, forcing some, you know, longer third down conversions, and then being able to execute when you get in that situation. You're going to have to get some pressure on the quarterback, make him have to speed it up a little bit. All good? Okay, guys, thanks.
Saints head coach Dennis Allen from earlier this afternoon out in Metairie before heading out to SoFi, the third time that this team will play in SoFi for the last 2 years, and that seems a little strange. They played the Rams there last year in December, Chargers this year. They also played the Chargers in preseason last year after they went out and practiced for a couple of days in Costa Mesa. And Charlie, you and I were talking earlier about, and there's some numbers that jump out, and it's going to be really the turnover differential for the Chargers at plus six. They don't turn it over very much. They don't get a ton, but they don't turn it over very much.
Yeah, they take care of the ball, and that's right. Probably one of those hallmarks of Coach Harbaugh. But plus six, which ranks third in the NFL, that obviously jumps off the page to you. But he also talked, I mean, you heard DA kind of break down the fundamentally sound defense that the Chargers play, and he's really right on target. I mean, when your top 10 in both total defense, you know, rushing defense, passing defense, and scoring defense, you're going to win some football games, even with, you know, kind of an anemic offense, I guess you would call it, early on.
Yeah, and third down, they're not strong. Fourth down, I think really the key, and then, you know, I feel like we say this every week, when you look at kind of red zone defense, right, because teams are going to get down there, and that is where both of these teams have been strong. So the Chargers are seventh in the NFL, 45%. The Saints are third in the NFL when teams get down there inside the 20 and they're able not to let them in the end zone, and you can see where it hurt the Chargers against Arizona, but it's kept the Saints kind of in a lot of games, and it, you know, allowed them to have those two blowouts. But, you know, it's one of those areas that it's also one reason the Chargers only give up 13.8 points a game. But that's a key area, because you're going to get down there, but what do you do when you get down there? Can you continue to get seven? And I feel like the Saints of late have started to utilize the tight ends more with Foster and Juwan. You know, if whatever it is they're doing on first down, can we just keep running that play, right? First down the last two games, passes to tight ends that get like 30 plus. So I feel like those tight ends will be very, very key.
Yeah, I agree. But also defending the tight end, because we saw what Will Dissly did, as you mentioned, to the Cardinals this past weekend. But real quick before we hit this break, Mike, I wanted to go back to what you were talking about, the scoring defense and specifically the red zone defense. With the Saints' strong red zone defense, it's going to have to continue, because this Chargers offense is kind of struggling to put it in to the red zone and score those touchdowns. The last touchdown they scored was in the second quarter of their Week 6 game against the Broncos when they got off to that huge 23-0 start. The J.K. Dobbins ran for a 4-yard touchdown with about a minute left to go in the second quarter. So since then, they've gone six quarters, which is, of course, you know, a full game and then a half, without scoring a touchdown, which goes back to that whole thing, 16 straight drives without scoring a touchdown. Now, the Broncos got back into that game in the fourth quarter. They kind of made it look closer than it actually was, but then the Chargers go on to lose to the Cardinals on Monday Night Football this past week. So, you know, it's always kind of unfortunate when you see a team that's, you know, playing really good defense, they still have some high hopes for the season, and then they drop a game right before you have to play them, because you know that they're right. Going to want some, you know, to bounce back and get back in the win column. It's what Tyrann Mathieu always says, that, you know, good teams avoid those long losing streaks, and obviously that's what the Chargers are hoping to do.
And that's what the Saints are trying to get out of as well, right? I mean, you know, Cameron Dicker, both kickers have been near perfect. In fact, Groupie has been perfect. Dicker's only missed one, but he had a 59-yarder last week. That's his career longest and tied a franchise longest. So he's 15 of 16. And like I said, Groupie's been perfect as well. So, you know, every week it could come down to special teams, but it just seems like that's the case across the NFL. Like, find me an NFL kicker that's 80%. It doesn't happen. You're not around. Everybody.
Cameron Dicker's a good one though, Mike. Yeah. So if it comes down to it, it's the same thing that we had back with that Atlanta game, right? With Younghoe Koo. If it came down to a field goal, you weren't feeling great. Of course, that game, of course, came down to a field goal.
But since then, what's he done?
Yeah, no, that's the worst thing,
like
too.
He's missed like three.
That's the worst thing, too. It makes me tear up my hair every single time I see him miss a kick. And some of them are bad, too, Mike.
Oh, my gosh.
He'll just shank one. And just,
he got back-to-back hook left on the after the penalty.
Oh, God.
I was going crazy. Take a break. Fans in the Pro, Mike Haas and Charlie Long coming to you. I'm at Caesars Superdome. He's in the studio. We're back after this. WWL, AMFM.com, and always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Mike Haas and Charlie Long, as Deuce McAllister is en route to Los Angeles, where the Saints will play on Sunday. And joining us now is Matt Moneysmith, the radio voice of the L.A. Chargers. Matt, how you doing, sir?
I'm great. Sorry about that, Mike. I know I was scheduled to come up out of the hour there, but, you know, Dodgers in the World Series out here, so things are a little bit crazy around the radio station.
Well, Matt, you know, I agree. I understand.
Although I don't, humble brag.
No, it's okay, because I'm about to, you know, we're a little busy too. I don't know if you heard, we have three nights of Taylor Swift here at Caesars Superdome. So I don't know how that goes with a World Series, but I know it's we've both had crazy weeks. I can tell you that.
Yes, I imagine that's a battle of the sexes sort of thing, right?
It is.
One half's going to take one, the other going to take the other.
That's right. So you got game one tonight. The one thing that Charlie Long is I'm in the Superdome. In fact, that's where we're doing. I'm doing the show from. Charlie's back in studio. Is that we've not really seen anything of the latest from the Chargers from an injury report, and it's kind of key, since you've got several key offensive players who didn't practice Wednesday, which was probably a walkthrough, but we're waiting to see what they did on Friday and what kind of game status they have. And, I mean, Will Dissly, Ladd McConkey, Perryman, Quentin Johnson, have you heard anything?
No, I'm waiting for it, as you are. Should probably be coming down the pike here in the next 30, 40 minutes. But that's a big one. I mean, you're talking about a wide receiver core that was depleted going into that Cardinals game. No Darius Davis. That's why Jalen Reagor was up to return those kicks. And really, it's been a position group. It's got to be the most challenged position group of the season. And a big reason why this offense has struggled to score points. You can say you want to run the ball all you want, but every defense they face is on their toes and leaning forward with 7, 8, 9 guys in the box. So it's become harder and harder to run with wide receivers struggling to separate. And when you're now talking about Ladd McConkey, their fastest receiver, maybe not being out there, Will Dissly, their number one target, especially on third down, he's the guy that Herbert trusts the most. Those are big names. And I mean, in a passing attack, that even though Herbert put up 350 yards against the Cardinals, these weapons got to get, you know, that's going to be a big one to keep an eye on when it comes to the injury report. Is Darius Davis, Ladd McConkey, and Will Dissly, are at least two of those three going to be out there? Because that'll go a long way.
So I guess this team has been, I mean, when you, Charlie and I have been talking, you give up only 13.8 points a game, so you automatically you're in every game with that defense. And give us an assessment. I know it's been solid for Harbaugh. Is he kind of everything that everybody expected? I know after a 2-0 start, but three of your last four. Now the Saints were 2-0 as well, lost 5 straight. So we feel it, but I'm just wondering what's been the reaction to him.
Well, I'll tell you, the reaction to Harbaugh's been great. I think in terms of kind of how they're reacting to the results, 3-3 instead of 4-2, or maybe even 5-1, considering what your defense is doing. Like, I feel like there's two schools, right? One is, are we wasting Justin Herbert? Is this another Phillip Rivers situation where you got a Hall of Fame level quarterback and you can't surround him with the players to put him over the hump? Or is it, man, the defense has been so bad for so many years under Brandon Staley that we would routinely see the Chargers take leads in the fourth quarter only to lose games, you know, 31-28, 34-31. Now we're on the flip side of that. I feel like most of the fans are looking at it as they'll figure the offense out. Herbert's too good. Like, the fact that the defense seems to be fixed with Jesse Minner and what he's got going, especially it looks like Bosa's going to be back this week. He's been out for the last few weeks, and they still have not allowed more than 20 points in a game. I think it's one of those, and I think the trade deadline is going to go a long way too. Now, that's not going to pertain to the Saints. You know, they're not going to acquire one between now and Sunday, but I think that's sort of kind of what the feeling is. And based on, you know, just kind of how the Saints defense has played, I think the Chargers.
Hey, man, it's okay. We get it.
I think they're looking at us, hey, man, the offense has got to figure something out here this week. You know, the Saints defense has struggled these last 2 weeks. Let's see if they can get after this and feel some rhythm going into this stretch of the schedule where they should be able to get some wins.
You talked about Justin Herbert and the passing attack. I want to bring up the rushing attack, which seems like it's been a little bit underwhelming so far this year. It's 18th in the NFL, 116 rushing yards per game. I want to ask you about, you know, what the Chargers did back in the draft, drafting Joe Alt in the first round and kind of committing to the mindset that Jim Harbaugh wants to build with his team, the culture that he wants to build, playing strong defense and being able to run the football. Obviously, you go in the second round, you get Ladd McConkey, so they did try to shore up the wide receiver room, which was seen as a glaring need and still kind of, as you mentioned, is for the team. But passing on a guy like Malik Nabers for Joe Alt and really kind of just trying to establish the run game with this offense under Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Charlie, I think if you had to do it all over again, they'd do it the same. Alt's been so good, and Slater's been so good. And I think when you look at sort of the trade deadline, and I know the rushing numbers aren't great, but I think that's a product, right, of kind of the wide receivers and trying to get this thing to breathe a little bit. Maybe if DJ Chark comes back this week, he was the guy they brought in to be that true X who can get off press, who runs a 4-3, who can win those 50-50 balls downfield. That's what they have to do. They've just got to get the offense to breathe a little bit because it's been so compacted. But I just look at it like this. Trade deadline, off-season, free agency – you see wide receivers move all the time. Good wide receivers, right? Legitimate ones. Davante Adams, Amari Cooper. You don't see tackles. They're just too valuable. They're too hard to find. And I think you know, if Joe Alt continues to operate at this level that he has thus far, you're talking about the Chargers having the best tackle tandem in the league. And I think that ends up going a long way just consistently. So no doubt you can second guess it because they need a wide receiver. They need a legitimate number one receiver because so these other pieces can fall into place as complementary pieces like McConkey and Quentin Johnston and Josh Palmer. But I think just sort of the way that Alt's performed, the leaky situation is not coming from tackles on pass rush or on pressure rates. It's all been interior, and that's something I think you can kind of shore up a little bit better, and that's where the Saints can maybe make some bones is getting after the center and Bozeman and the guards. But as far as the tackles go, man, they've been really good. There's just been nothing coming off the edges.
Matt, we'll let you go, but I'm going to let you go just because I just happened to re-flip back to the Chargers. So Bosa limited today, questionable. DJ Chark limited, questionable. Darius Davis did not practice. He's doubtful. Disley limited, questionable. Hayden Hurst, questionable. And Quentin Johnson was another one we talked about. He was limited today, but still doubtful. And Ladd McConkey, limited, questionable. And Denzel Perryman, limited and questionable. So a lot of still kind of things. It's Friday. Yeah. Kind of. So we'll know more Sunday. But there's nobody that's out, right? And so we'll wait and see.
So that's good news. Usually the questionables just haven't been around this team. They typically play. Doubtfuls typically don't.
Don't, right.
So I'd say given the, you know, yeah. Quentin and Darius, not great that they're not going to be out there, but you tell me you get Bosa and Chark and Disley, and I'll feel pretty good about making right. that sort of, and McConkey especially, that sort of exchange. So should be a good one. I think like all the Charger games this year, expect a one-score game, and it should be pretty darn fun.
All right, Matt Money Smith, you got a big one tonight, Game 1 of the World Series. I will see you on Sunday. We really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Sorry for the tardiness.
Thanks. No problem.
Thanks, Matt.
No problem. We'll be back after this. Fans in the Pro, Mike Haas, Charlie Long here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro, Mike Haas and Charlie Long. Going to get you after the first hour. We got another whole hour coming your way up to the Brian Kelly Show at 6 o'clock. And really in this 5 o'clock hour, we'll talk Pelicans there on the West Coast. What a huge one tomorrow. LSU and Texas A&M all leading up to the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup at 7 o'clock. What a great weekend. The news is coming up next, and then Charlie and I will be back for the 5 o'clock hour. Keep it right here on WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app.